Today on The Balanced Word.
The Apostle Paul said, I figured out the key to happiness. He said, I have learned to be content wherever I am. I've learned to be satisfied with what I have. The only way I will ever be satisfied, if I will be satisfied, is if I will be satisfied with where I am right now. Now, it doesn't mean you want to stay there necessarily, but it means looking at what we have and trusting a God who's a good shepherd who says, right now you have everything I want you to have. Right now you are exactly in the place that I have put you. Can you trust me? And can you learn to be satisfied where you are?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's time once again for The Balanced Word, online at thebalancedword.com. We're knee-deep into our study of the Psalms, and today we'll have a look at one that no doubt you're somewhat familiar with, Psalm 23. It talks about God as our good shepherd, and boy, do we need one as we travel through this difficult life. So let's join Pastor Dave Roth there now for part one of I Shall Not Want.
Psalm 23 may be the most familiar passage of Scripture, probably after John 3:16. Anyone who knows anything about the Bible knows something of the 23rd Psalm. It's been put on more wall plaques, put on little pieces of jewelry. It's read almost every time there's a funeral. The Shepherd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, a beautiful passage of Scripture. I memorized it when I was really, really young, and I think of it so often. It's a passage I meditate on again and again. It's just, there's something about this passage of Scripture, I think, that touches almost anyone who reads it or who reflects on it. I saw something funny a couple days ago on TV. There's this show that I've started to watch it's like a train wreck, but you just can't keep your eyes off of it. And it's this funny show. There's this guy named The Dog, and he's a bounty hunter. I'm sure you haven't seen it. It's on A&E or some weird time, but I TiVo it and watch it. But there's something strangely compelling about this character who goes out and revokes bails and arrests people and takes them to jail when there's a warrant out for them and things like that. He's over in Hawaii. He's a big, huge guy that looks like a pro wrestler, really buff, older guy, though, long hair halfway down his back, combed up like a Pentecostal, and just he wears a vest and his muscles bulging out, chains hanging around, handcuffs hanging from his belt, big canister of mace or tear gas on. It's strange. His whole family works with him, and they all look like that. His wife, I would be scared to death of. But the thing that's interesting about the show, I mean, I'm not crazy about, I don't recommend the show because they do use some foul language, although it's all censored out. The Tuttles on American Chopper look like they have clean mouths. But the thing that really fascinates me about this guy, Dog, is that he's really a devout Christian as well. And he's constantly sharing about the Lord. And you get these characters, and before they go out to make an arrest, they hold hands in a circle and pray a prayer that God will protect them and help them find the bad guys. And they pray in Jesus' name. It's really interesting. And then after he arrests these criminals, as they're going back to turn them in, he shares the Lord with them and prays for them and tells. There was one on that I saw the other night where this girl that he arrested, who's a drug dealer and really messed up, she mentions that her dad is a pastor in L.A. She's Samoan, and she's living in Hawaii where he is based. And so he starts to preach to her, and he's telling her, look, it's your soul I'm talking about. You may just have this one last chance that God has given you. And as they pulled up to the police station, he said, I bet you know the scriptures better than I do. What scripture are you thinking of right now? And she goes, Psalms. And he goes, which psalm? And she goes, Psalm 23. And he goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou. And she started to say it with him. And I thought, it's funny that even with Dog Chapman, this notorious bounty hunter, ex-con and really a character, when he gets the Bible in there, it's Psalm 23. It's a scripture that's everywhere. And I love it. And it talks about God being our shepherd. Now, David was a shepherd, and he knew how much he cared for his sheep. See, the thing about sheep is they need constant care and attention. And David, as he loved his sheep and took care of them, he realized, I need someone to take care of me like that. I need a good shepherd. And he discovered that Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd. Now, Jesus in the New Testament said, I am the good shepherd. And he picked up this imagery and applied it to himself a lot of times. I'm not that crazy about the fact that God so often in Scripture compares us to sheep. Sheep are one of the most pathetic animals that there is. Oh, you have that image of sheep that you learn in Sunday school, and your kids come from Sunday school, and oh, a little lamb, and it's just little cotton balls glued onto the paper, and you see real sheep, they're ugly and dirty. They've got, I mean, look at a sheep, it's a big ball of wool, and it picks up everything. It's like a Velcro animal, and they're just filthy and dirty. They're also one of the stupidest animals that there is. They can't figure out anything. I think, why didn't God say, you know, in his word, the Lord is my dolphin trainer? And then I'm like, yeah, we're pretty smart. But he goes, no, the Lord is my shepherd. Also, sheep tend to wander off constantly. If you put them in a pen, they all hang around the fence trying to get through. Even if the better grass is right where they are, they're just constantly ill at ease. They're constantly kind of restless and shifty. They also get themselves in trouble and need help constantly. Sheep are top heavy. And when they fall down, they call it being cast. They're cast, they flip over on their back and they just wave their legs. They can't possibly flip themselves back over. They just aren't good for much. And there we are. Oh yeah, we're sheep. Thanks a lot. The image is carried out further over in Isaiah 53. When Isaiah says in that great, if there are two passages of Scripture that are, to me, the best passages in the Bible, it's Psalm 23 and Isaiah 53. If you're going to start memorizing the Bible, memorize those first. But in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Like sheep, we wander off. But that's us. And certainly we do. We have so much in common with sheep. The more you study sheep, the more you realize why God says we are like sheep. But as he starts this psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. If there's anything that defines us as individuals, we are defined by what we want. We are determined by what it is that we're hoping is going to happen next. The truth is, for us to be in a state of saying, I don't want anything, I'm satisfied where I am, that's something that's foreign to most of us. Most of us, like Mick Jagger, can't get satisfaction. Oh, we try and try and try and try, but it just doesn't work. Because we always have this sense that if I only could have this, then my life would be complete and I'd find satisfaction. Well, when you're kids, it happens every time Christmas is coming or a birthday. You think of something that you want so badly and really deep down in your heart, you believe if you could get that toy, you'd never want anything else. And you begin to negotiate with your parents. If I had this bike, the Schwinn Stingray, then I'll never want anything else. In fact, it can be my Christmas present for this Christmas, next Christmas, the next five Christmases, and my birthday all rolled into one if I can just have that bicycle. Problem is, by the end of the day at Christmas, you think, well, there are a few other things I need, some accessories or some other things, a trailer to pull with it or whatever. And we just never get over that. We spend most of our lives wanting, believing that life would be okay if. And so we think, you know, if I could just get married, then life would be complete. I'd never ask for anything else. God, just a husband, just a wife. We get married. After a little while, we're thinking, God, if you could just get me out of this marriage, a loophole somewhere. If you would deliver me from this person, then I'd be complete. Now we go, God, if I had kids, I know that would be all the difference. You get kids, oh God, please, just help these kids to grow up and go away to college soon. You know, it's the way we live our lives. if I had that house, that car, that relationship, those things, I'd be fine. The Apostle Paul said, I figured out the key to happiness. He said, I have learned to be content wherever I am. I've learned to be satisfied with what I have. The only way I will ever be satisfied, if I will be satisfied, is if I will be satisfied with where I am right now. Now, it doesn't mean you want to stay there necessarily, but it means looking at what we have and trusting a God who's a good shepherd who says, right now you have everything I want you to have. Right now you are exactly in the place that I have put you. Can you trust me? And can you learn to be satisfied where you are? If the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want. And if I'm thinking of my life and going, oh, I want this and I want that, and I'm trying to get this and I'm waiting for that and I'm anxious to be there, and I'm not satisfied where I am, then what I'm saying is, I don't really understand that the Lord is my shepherd. That doesn't relate to me somehow. Oh, how important it is for us to understand that because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need to want anything else. I don't need to desire and wait for something else to happen for my ship to come in. So often we keep ourselves going by believing that just around the corner, something's going to happen that's going to fix everything. Right now, where you are, it's fixed. The Lord is your shepherd. He goes on and he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep are one of the only animals that have a serious problem with insomnia. They don't just lay down and rest because they're always worried about everything. Sheep are so scared that you can stampede a flock of 200 sheep by just a rabbit running out. Well, they all just take off and crash into each other and bang into a fence and injure themselves. They just don't like to rest. And the only way they can rest is if the shepherd provides everything for them, make sure they get a good meal, make sure they're in a safe place, make sure that the shepherd's presence is detected, and then sometimes just actually gently pushing them down to the ground and forcing them to rest. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything. I don't want. He provides for my needs. I notice also that he makes me sometimes lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we don't feel like lying down. Sometimes we feel like the world is depending on us moving in order for somehow everything to be okay. And in a frantic hustle and bustle of activity, we live our lives wearing ourselves out. And God says, you're going to need to sleep. You need to rest. And there are times when he does something to us to say, I am going to make you lie down. But when you lie down, you'll see it's in green pastures. And so he sometimes will cause us to have to lie down. Sometimes when we get sick, I'm convinced that it's just God saying, I'm going to make you lie down. I'm going to knock your legs out from underneath you and force you to lie down because you need to rest right now. Other times people think, oh, I lost my job. Oh, no. Hey, you're on vacation. Enjoy it a little bit. Yes, look for another job. But so often when God is blessing us by saying, here, you need to rest, we're fighting against it, going, no, I don't want to rest. I don't want to sleep. I love that image of the disciples when they were with Jesus in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And the waves began to crash and a storm was evolving and waters coming over the side of the boat. And Jesus was in the back of the boat snoozing, taking a nap, resting. And the disciples were like, oh no, don't you realize, Jesus, your whole messianic program is going to go down the drain. Get up, wake up. And as Jesus woke up and stood up, he rebuked them for their lack of faith. He then calmed the storm. But his point was, why can't you guys trust me? Don't you know I'm not going to let my program go down the drain? If it's nap time, it's nap time. The smart thing to do when Jesus is sleeping is to go ahead and take a nap yourself. Often we do just the opposite. When there's a time when we see that God's working and everything's going great, we think, okay, I guess I don't have to do anything. I'll take a nap. Nobody's really begging for help. You know, it seems like everything's going all right, so I think I'll take a nap. On the other hand, when it seems like God's not working, When it seems like he is asleep and we don't see his hand happening in our lives, then we feel like, I better do something. Jesus is asleep in the boat. I better take matters into my own hands. Boy, what an important lesson it is for us to learn that if Jesus isn't really doing anything right now, maybe it's nap time. Maybe it's okay to just take a break. Maybe he's saying, lie down in green pastures. Take a break. Take a rest. He doesn't depend on us. And there are so many times when doors aren't open for us to do things that we would like to do. So we just keep pounding our head into those doors. Instead, we feel like, okay, God's not really calling me to do anything right now. Maybe it's my time to rest. That's okay. He never gets so desperate that he needs us. And I promise you, there are plenty of times in your life when he's trying to get you to rest, and he's doing everything that he can to impress that upon you, and yet we so often have a hard time lying down and resting because we really believe that he needs us, that he's counting on us, that he depends on us. If God's really my shepherd, he will make me lie down. He's a good shepherd, and a good shepherd knows sheep depend on sleep. So count your sheep, count your blessings, count whatever you have to do, but understand your good shepherd isn't trusting in you to get his work done. He will allow you those times of rest because he knows you need them. He understands that if you don't have them, you'll become weak. There's a story of a guy who was walking through the woods, and he saw a man cutting a tree down. And he was just sweaty and working really hard with the saw, cutting and cutting. And he had only got about a half an inch through the tree, barely through the bark. But the guy kept walking. He came back a couple hours later, and the guy's just still sawing away like crazy. And he had only got another quarter of an inch. And so he said, are you sure that saw is sharp? And he goes, no, it probably isn't. And he looked at it. The saw was completely dull. And he said, why don't you go sharpen the saw? You'd be able to cut through this tree before the sun goes down. And the guy goes, I can't. I have to get it done, and I don't have time to go sharpen my blade. So often I think we are that way with ourselves. We won't stop to sharpen the saw, and as a result, we're working like crazy and not getting anything done. Hey, my good shepherd will, sooner or later, he'll make you lie down because he loves you and he wants to provide for you. He also says he leads me beside the still waters. Sheep are funny. They will drink anything. You could pour poison in a hole in the ground and they'll drink it. So they're constantly plagued with diseases and things like that. Some smarter animals have a sense. If there's a plant that's poisonous, they'll sniff it and they just know this isn't right. If there's some stagnant water with bugs and germs and everything in it, they'll go up to it and they won't even touch it, no matter how thirsty they are. But sheep will drink anything. And so a shepherd needs to constantly monitor the sheep so that they don't drink things that will disease them. A lot like us. There's a cool, deep, fresh, running source of water that God offers to us. He says, if you drink from me, it's going to be forever like a spring bubbling up to eternal life within you. If you drink from anything else, it doesn't have that effect. You'll thirst again. And so, as he calls us to drink from him, a good shepherd will direct the sheep to a source of refreshment, to a source of providing that moisture that they need to keep from getting sick and dehydrated or poisoned by things that they shouldn't be drinking. And so for us, the good shepherd, he provides us through himself, through his word, through the Spirit, hey, leading us beside those still waters, leading us to the place where we get exactly what we need for our nourishment. Sheep don't need a lot of water. In fact, a lot of times, shepherds, they'll get the sheep up early in the morning because if there's thick grass and it has dew on it, dew is some of the best moisture, some of the best water you can get. And so by getting them up early in the morning and taking them to fresh grass that has fresh dew on it, that's enough moisture for them. That's enough water for the rest of the day for them. And so often how God wants us to get up early in the morning to receive from him that which he offers in terms of that nutrition and that refreshment. And so our good shepherd saying, I'll take you to the water, the right water, but don't just drink anything you see. Let me give you what you really need. He goes on to say, he restores my soul. Not only taking us to green pastures and providing us with water, but he restores our soul. The word for soul is a word that just means who you really are, your life at its essence. And our good shepherd is in the business of allowing us to back up. That's what the word restore really means. It's to step back and to be refreshed and to be invigorated, reinvigorated, to be encouraged. And that's what God does for us with his nutrition, with his word, with his spirit, with his presence. When we find ourselves frazzled, we're at the end of our rope. We feel like, I don't know if I can go on. God sees that. And what he says is, maybe it's time to lie down. Here, drink some nice cool water, and I'll get you back in the race. I'll put you back into action. Those who do crisis counseling for people in the military, for people in fire services and police services, understand when there's a crisis that it takes a toll on people who are trying to help. But to me, it's some of the best counseling in the world, because you don't take someone in that situation, a soldier who's surrounded by death, or a firefighter, police officer who are seeing horrible things, you don't take them back and sit down and say, well, let's take 2 years to go through your background and let's talk about your father or something like that. What they do is they get them in there, they sit them down, they say, let's talk about what you're doing, but you're needed. And so we need to minister to you on a fast track. We need to get you restored. You need to be okay. Wait for another day. Wait till you're an old man or an old woman before you figure out everything that's happened in your history. But right now, what we need to do is get you back in the game, get you back into being able to serve. You're necessary. And so there's this crisis counseling that's a fast-track restoration. It's not a complete makeover. It's just going, you know, you're becoming less effective. Take a break here. Get some nutrition, and I'll restore you. I'll get you to the point where now you're ready to give again. Now you're ready to serve again. You can be useful. You will not be just crippled and held back completely. We'll get you back in the action. And so the good shepherd has to do this. We need a good shepherd to restore our soul.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolf. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Let's go a little deeper now into Psalm 23.
The good shepherd restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep aren't very good about walking on paths. Sheep are very, very conservative by nature. It's one reason why throughout history, people have often resented sheep and shepherds. They were sometimes considered to be the lowest form of subsistence in life. The reason is, if you don't take care of sheep, they will stay right where they are, just like we do, and eat and eat and eat and eat and pull the grass up by the roots and just destroy a field. And if you leave the sheep in one pasture too long, they make ruts throughout it. Makes it hard for the water to flow and for the grass to be healthy. And so a good shepherd leads the sheep in paths of righteousness, bringing them to the next place.
We'll come back to Psalm 23 tomorrow on The Balanced Word and hear more about our good shepherd and how he cares for us and leads us too. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and yeah.